Spruce grouse and other members of their family are national treasures, far more important in American history and culture, and for their role in the ecology of their respective habitats than they are as game birds. Unfortunately, value is seldom judged by intangibles. As the number of hunters continues to dwindle, the Minnesota DNR in particular seems to bend over backward to make the remaining hunters happy, no matter what the cost to our conservation ethic. The spruce grouse is listed as threatened in Wisconsin, where none can be taken at any time of year. It's also a fully protected species of special concern in Michigan. Since 2006, Minnesota has listed it as a species of greatest conservation need, and it's been on the Chippewa National Forest's sensitive species list since 2004. In 2008, the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies recommended that states still having spruce grouse habitat develop formal surveys for monitoring population change and conduct research on the effects of habitat alterations and hunting. Concerns about climate change causing a northward retreat, along with losses to auto collisions and, in some areas, habitat losses due to mining and other causes, make many people worry about the future of this magnificent bird. But despite our lack of standardized data about spruce grouse population trends, from 10,000 to 20,000 are taken each year by hunters in Minnesota. This isn't many compared to the 500,000 ruffed grouse taken each year, but is a significant take when we don't have any handle on their actual numbers. Fortunately, the Minnesota DNR is starting what sounds like some excellent programs for more systematic monitoring of spruce grouse, as was detailed in an article in the March-April 2014 Minnesota Conservation Volunteer by Jason Abraham. The article was titled, A Search for Secrets of the Spruce Grouse. Unfortunately, that article includes some misleading information about the bird's diet, which changes in spring and summer to include a great many plants and berries and even insects as the grouse forage more on the ground. This is important because savvy hunters realize that the birds taste better at the beginning of the hunting season before spruce needles and buds start to dominate their diet again. Some spruce grouse taken by hunters in Minnesota are mistaken for the more delicious and more numerous ruffed grouse. It seems a shame to waste an opportunity for hunter education that could help prevent some wasted birds. Even though prairie chicken numbers in Minnesota are critically low, a hunting season based on a lottery for special permits was opened in 2006. Participating in a lottery to hunt such a dangerously declining species seems to specifically select for those hunters who are least likely to believe that they should take only the surplus population. When searching for population information, I came upon several mentions of the Minnesota Grand Slam, when a hunter manages to get a ruffed grouse, spruce grouse, sharp-tailed grouse, and greater prairie chicken all in the state in the same year. Why couldn't they set that up as a photography challenge, rather than targeting the four species with guns when prairie chickens and sharptails are both suffering dangerously low numbers and we don't even know what's happening with spruce grouse numbers? 10 years ago, Minnesota opened a mourning dove hunt 60 years after taking the bird off its list of game species. Never before have we opened a season on a bird whose only real management in the state has been by farmers and people who feed birds. The DNR claimed that 30,000 to 50,000 hunters would try dove hunting, but the actual numbers have been far fewer. The one lesson the DNR seemed to take from the dove hunt public outcry was to prevent public comment the next time they opened a season on what had been a non-game species. They opened a sandhill crane season in 2010 without any public input. Even today, May 27, 2014, they're using a sandhill crane as the poster child of the DNR's non-game wildlife program webpage for the Northwest region in the state, the very region in which they are now allowing sandhill crane hunting. The Minnesota DNR has a very active hunter recruitment and retention program, but does little to nothing to promote its non-game wildlife program, short of giving taxpayers the option to contribute via the chickadee checkoff on our state tax forms. And by making it clear the DNR's true loyalties are to hunting, even going so far as to redesignate species that were non-game favorites as game birds, they've succeeded in alienating a great many people, including some of us non-hunters who had been huge proponents of the DNR. I'd recently reread Joel Greenberg's book about the passenger pigeon and got a sad shiver of recognition while reading that Minnesota Conservation Volunteer article about spruce grouse I mentioned in the section titled Fool Hen. Quote, reports abound of hunters approaching the birds and knocking them dead with a stick, end quote. It seems we've entirely lost the very concept of sportsmanship when our official DNR magazine touts that kind of behavior. Hunters voluntarily gave up hunting wood ducks in the early 1900s because their population was declining. Thanks to many people, the great majority of them hunters, working to restore habitat, they brought the species back, and wood duck numbers continue to rise. Ducks Unlimited has tried to match that excellent record with other waterfowl species and does wonderfully. This should be the standard for hunter conservation. Instead, today in Minnesota, we're allowing the hunting of vanishing species and providing generous bag limits for species that have no solid population data, adding non-game birds to the hunted species as if to make up for the fewer game birds remaining, and actually celebrating how easily hunters can club to death the beautiful bird with a stick. Where are the hunters who earned the sport its reputation for sportsmanship and conservation? And when will the Minnesota DNR recognize that non-hunters are also conservationists and would happily support them if they gave even the slightest indication that they were listening to us? I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.